God inhabits the praises of his people, and he is in this room. I'm so thankful for the presence of God. And I'm going to be preaching over the next several weeks on the life of Elijah about being on fire for God. I want to be a man who's on fire for God. I want this church to be on fire for God. I want you to be on fire for God. And so we're going to be talking about that. Elijah was a person whose life and ministry was marked by fire. He was passionate about God. And so I can say he was on fire for God. But also, literally, real fire was manifested in his life and ministry. In 1 Kings chapter 18, he called fire down from heaven, and God responded to his prayer and consumed a sacrifice that had been prepared so that when the fire came, all that was left was a charred crater. Everything was gone. The sacrifice was gone. The altar was gone. I mean, it was just the power of God's fire. In 2 Kings chapter 1, a wicked king was very upset with Elijah and ordered a captain to take 50 soldiers and go capture him. So they got to Elijah's house, and Elijah came out of his house and again called fire down from heaven that consumed that captain and his 50 soldiers. The evil king, not being dissuaded at all, just sent another captain and 50 soldiers, and Elijah came out of his house, called fire down from heaven, consumed those 50 soldiers and their captain. The king sends a third contingent of soldiers. Only the third captain, he knows this is bad. This is really bad. And so he runs up to Elijah, falls at his feet, and begs for his life and the life of his men. And Elijah said, okay, I'll relent. I know the king wants me, so I'll go with you. Let's go see the king. But now he wasn't going as their captive. He really had them captive. I mean, they weren't going to mess with him. And then in 2 Kings chapter 2, at the end of Elijah's life, literally a chariot of fire came down of heaven, swooped him up, and took him to heaven. And that was how his life ended. I mean, when he was taken into glory. This guy, I mean, he had fire in his life. And so I want to talk about fire. And just to kick this off, I like how God times things. And this wasn't my timing. It wasn't my plan, but it's just how God does stuff. But this last week, our youth were at youth camp in Kentucky, and God's fire was there. And these young people caught the fire of God, and great things happened. They worshiped God with fire, and they surrendered to God and his fire in their lives. And great things happened at youth camp. And this is unprepared. I talked to Pastor Nate about this. I said, I don't want the kids to know because I don't want this rehearsed. I don't want them to end up with something canned, but I want to hear from them. And so I'm going to ask all those who were at youth camp this last week to come to the platform right now. And I don't know that we're going to hear from all of them, but we're going to hear from some of them. But I want everybody to come to the platform. Don't you feel good just being with God's saints? Isn't this wonderful? Well, here they are. Now, we don't have time to hear from all of them, but I'm going to ask a question of you guys, and I might pick on two or three of you and just say, what jumped out at you at youth camp this week? How did God open your eyes? What did you note or see or experience? I just need two or three sentences. Just two or three sentences. So you got to concise this now. What did you experience or see that really jumped out at you from God this week at camp? Hey, yeah, right there. You go to him.
So in our guys' dorm, because I mean, I'm a guy, so I was in the guys' dorm. Yep. So we, in the beginning of the week, a lot of us didn't really know each other. And I think throughout our devos at night and all of us getting more involved in the services, we all grew as like a family. And now we're like a brotherhood. And so I think our fellowship with our guys in our dorms, like, it was awesome. And just to see how God was moving through all of our guys' lives, like, I mean, I think they can agree. It was powerful every single night. And like at one of the chapels, a couple of our guys went up, so I was going up with them, and it just brought me to tears on how powerful that week had been in their lives, and like just moving through that into my life as well.
All right. Who's next?
By the way, Kendall hates to talk, so in public. So here you go, Kendall.
Well, I guess what really stood out to me with the whole camp was the nature that we were in, and all the mountains and all the beautiful wildlife that was there. But what really like hit me hard was all the services. I like the AM services because of the pastor. He was really good and relatable to me and with stuff that I'm going through. And I just that whole week really showed me what life should be like, especially without a phone, because because phones are a really big distraction, and most of us really don't understand that, but it does suck you in, and there's a lot of the devil with social media and stuff like that, and we get lied to every day by it, and without the phone, I really thought that we all connected well, so.
Well, what I learned over camp, like, I could, like, got closer to my church, and I knew that they would always be there for me, and I could talk to them.
Yeah, throughout camp, I think the most powerful thing in the whole week was the worship before the services. I mean, it was just powerful. You could feel the Holy Spirit in there, and I don't know, just brought us all closer to God and to each other. So,
kind of like along with Brett said, our girls got super close this week, and it was just really awesome to be able to do devotions, which were led by Miss Jen and Mariah and Miss Bonnie. And it was just awesome to be able to get together at the end of the day and have them speak into our lives through the devotion time. And also something more personal to me is I learned this week that don't give up on people. People are never finished. Praying for people, interceding for people, even when they don't cry out to God, you cry out to God for them.
Would another student like to share? No? Okay. Can I tell one story without preaching?
Absolutely. All right. Go
so,
for it.
So this for me was kind of a full circle moment, and I shared something different first service, and so I'll share something different in second. But 2 years ago at youth camp, Jack here, wave at everybody, Jack. Jack committed his life to Christ. And this year, he went back as a counselor. And it was so cool to see a decision that he made for Christ that wasn't just a glance at Jesus, but was a gaze at Jesus. And it was an eternal thing. And I know your parents pray for you. And to see him be able to speak in other people's lives and tell them about Jesus was a powerful thing. And so, yeah, that was a big takeaway for me this week.
Thanks. You can have a seat, everybody. You can have a seat, kids. Thanks for sharing with us. And when Nate says, can I share something without preaching, my question right back is, I don't know, can you? I mean, he's a preaching machine. And pray for Nate. I mean, he did full bore leadership at this camp. He was the music leader. He did, and he put a team together from our church to lead this. There were other churches there. But he did all the music, plus he was a couple of nights in the ER with kids with injuries, and he's worn out, and lo and behold, Friday, he's gone leading a mission team to Costa Rica. So pray for him, and this week, please, leave him alone. I'm serious about that. And I told him this morning, You know, oftentimes I make suggestions to him, but this morning I told him, I am serious. As your boss, you have to take some time off this week. And we'll see if he can manage that, because he just, and whenever I tell him that, he says, well, I got too many things going. I can't. And he, sure enough, that's what he said today. And I said, I don't care. You know, the only thing I want you to worry about is camp or the mission trip now. And he said, well, he said, I'm supposed to be preaching 3 or 4 times down there. I got to get sermons ready. You know, So I can't control him, but please leave him alone this week. Well, back to Elijah, on fire for God. And I'm going to challenge you to be on fire for God. So I want you to go right now to 1 Kings chapter 17. And you'll see on your bulletin and on the screen, I have a section of scripture. And I was going to read that, but I'm not for the sake of time. But just leave your Bibles open. And I'm actually, as I work through the sermon, I'm going to read several verses of scripture. And one of them is a lengthy one. So you'll get the scripture through the message. But just leave your Bibles open. And I want you to know, Elijah was a man of great spiritual confidence. In chapter 17, verse 1, he pronounces a drought on the land. He said, it's not going to rain anymore until I say so. I mean, that's spiritual confidence. I can speak the rain from stopping, and it only will the rain start when I speak. That is spiritual confidence. And I noted earlier that he called fire down from heaven in chapter 18. Later in this chapter, chapter 17, he resurrected a dead boy back to life. Over and over again, he demonstrated spiritual confidence. But he was human, like you and me. In fact, after the victory on Mount Carmel that we're going to be looking at in a couple of weeks, he went into a depression. And he literally told God, I'm ready to die. I don't care to live anymore. I'm just so depressed. And he had ups and he had downs. And I want to speak to you about your downs today. When times of testing come and you're wondering, I don't think I'm good enough, my resources aren't enough, I'm just worn out, I can't do anymore, and this is just too much for me, I'm inadequate. That is a time of spiritual testing. How are you going to get through it? Are you going to come out the other side better than when you went into it? And you all have these experiences. You've had them, you'll have them again. You may be in a time of testing right now, where you're wondering, I just don't feel like I'm up to it. That happened to Elijah. He pronounced the drought on the nation, and then God told him to go into hiding, and he went into hiding, and while he was in hiding, God provided for him there. Now, it wasn't much. We're going to talk about this in a minute, but he drank from a little brook, had water, and the ravens brought him food. But the scripture says in verse 7 of chapter 17, sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Here's what I want you to see here. Here's Elijah, and he's at the end. Even when he's in hiding and he has a little bit, it stopped. What's he going to do? And you may be in a time where I don't have a whole lot, and now all of a sudden that went bad. Even what little I had is gone. Now, the little you have could be your emotional reserves, your physical reserves, your financial reserves. But you can get to a place where it's gone. I have nothing left. Sometime later, the brook dried up. Well, there's something I want you to see about the brook drying up. First of all, the brook was from God. The brook was from God. And you need to understand whatever reserves and whatever resources you have are from God. And so don't look to that resource in itself as your provision. Look to God as your provider. And if he gives you a brook, thank God for that. But if he takes the brook away, God's going to have something else for you. And that and by the way, that can be a job. What happens if I lose my job? Well, the job wasn't your source of everything. God is the source of your everything. And he provided that job. And if that's gone, there will be something else. That's also true of people. You can't look to one person and say, that is the source of my strength, that person. Because if that person somehow is gone, then what? You have to look to God as your source. And in one season, he may provide one person. And in another season, he may provide a different person. You know, it occurs to me just in this moment, that happened to you folks 4 years ago when you lost Pastor Dave Mercer. And if you look to Dave Mercer as your source, you were in trouble. But if you look to God as your source, you're going to make it. And I don't mean that to disparage. Pastor Dave is a wonderful man. I mean, just an incredible man. But your source is not a person. It's not a job. It's not whatever. It is God. And he, if something disappears that you're looking to, God is your provider. And you need to understand that. Well, let me get into the outline of this message. And here's the first thing that I want you to see. God ordains a place for me. You need to know that when you're being tested. God has a place for you. There were two times in this chapter, at the beginning of this chapter, where God specifically spoke to Elijah and said, here's where I want you to go. Here's the place where I want you to be. In verses 2 and 3, then the word of the Lord, and where you see Lord in capitals, then the word of Jehovah or Yahweh, then the word of Jehovah came to Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. So God says, here's where I want you to go in this season. I have this place for you. Then the brook dried up. And so then in verse 8, then the word of Jehovah came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. Both times, Elijah immediately obeyed. He said, God has a place for me, and that's where I'll go. But both times, when God said, here's where I want you to go, it really wasn't the best place to go in their thinking of that time. You know, why would you go there? Why would you go to some hidden place where you're going to drink from one little brook and have the ravens come and feed you? And when he went to Cherith, it means to cut off. He was literally cut off. He was alone. It was like Elijah and God and the ravens, you know. It was like, that. I don't have anybody else. I'm in hiding. He was cut off, and he had this limited water supply and limited food supply. And let me tell you, this was not fine dining. This wasn't eloquent cuisine. A little brook, probably dirty, because there's very little rain, and it's just, you know, a little bit of water moving along, picking up the dirt and the sand, And then the ravens are feeding him. Let me tell you, ravens are scavenger birds. They're designed by God to feed themselves in the garbage. And they scavenge. And somehow God miraculously had these birds, when they went scavenging for food, not to eat it, but just keep it in their dirty bird beak and fly over to where Elijah was and drop it there. Elijah is eating bird leftovers. I mean, this is not good eating. And sometime later, the brook dried up. And, you know, now that would be a place to be discouraged. You know, what little I had, it was awful, but now it's gone. But God said, I have another place for you. I want you to go to Zarephath. Zarephath means place of testing. So he went from this place where he was cut off. Now he's going to go to a place where he's tested. And he really was tested there in Zarephath with this widow that he met. But Elijah had learned a lesson. If God tells me to go somewhere, I'm going to go there. And even if it doesn't make any sense, even if it's a hard place to be, if that's where God wants me to be, then that's the best place for me. And so off he went to Zarephath. This place of testing. Here's the second thing, and we're going to get into why this was a hard place, but God offers a provision for me. First there's a place, now there's a provision. The provision at the brook dried up. Now he goes off to Zarephath, and God tells him to find a widow there. In verses 8 and 9, the word of Jehovah came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. God was saying, I have a provision for you, and I took this provision away. I've got another provision for you, and it's from a widow. Let me tell you, this would be hard for this on-fire man of God to impose on a widow. It was unjust. It was even illegal by their law. Let me read to you from Exodus chapter 21. Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. If you do, they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will be aroused, and I will kill you with a sword if you impose on a widow or an orphan. And then God speaks to Elijah. Hey, I want you to go impose on a widow. Wait a minute, God. I mean, and he said, but I've commanded her to take care of you. Okay. If that's what you want, then that's where I'll go. And Elijah had this confidence. If this is what God wants, if this is where he wants me to be and who he wants me to look to, then that's what I'm going to do. And let me read to you, and I told you I was going to read. I'm going to read to you a lengthy passage. I'm going to read to you verses 10 to 14 of chapter 1. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. Now, at this point, the widow, she is really too put upon. She was willing to go to the city well and pull water out for this strange man. But when he says, and bring me a piece of bread, you know, it's like, okay, I can get you water out of the well that the whole town's getting, but when you ask me for bread, that's, I got to take it out of my own house. Here's what she said. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little bit of oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. In other words, this is the last I have. We're going to have this last bit, and we'll starve to death. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Oh, the confidence of this man of God. Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. The gall. Make that and bring it to me to eat. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what Jehovah, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day Jehovah gives rain on the land. Elijah had a word from God, and he wasn't imposing on this widow. He was giving her a word from the Lord, a word of promise. He had past experience. I have seen how God has provided for me before, and he's going to provide for me now, and he's going to provide for this widow. He's going to provide for her son. Past experience with God gives us future hope. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony. There's something about a testimony. Here is what God did for me. That sometime later when we're going through a time of testing, we say, I know God's taking care of things before. I believe he'll get me through this. Do you have a testimony? You know, you're not going to be on fire for God unless you have an experience with God where he's come through for you. Do you have a testimony? Well, Elijah did. And he knew that Jehovah was Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. And he says, bring me this. It would be called a japat, just a little roll. Bring me a little roll. And what he got instead was a miracle. The flour never was used up. The oil never ran out. I love in the New Testament the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Just a few loaves and fish. And Jesus said, tell this crowd to sit down. We're going to feed all of them. And out of that boy's lunch, they just kept serving. And it's like the baskets with the fish in them, the baskets with the bread. It's like we never get to the bottom of the basket. It just keeps coming, and everybody was fed. The food didn't run out until that whole crowd of 5,000 was fed. And Elijah was saying here in the Old Testament, there's going to be enough food. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. God's going to take care of you. In Philippians, which we have been studying, It says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. You know, I hear people say, I just can't take anymore. And here's what they really mean when they say, I can't take anymore. They really mean, I can't give anymore. I'm used up. There's nothing left. I cannot put out. I cannot give anymore. But we have a God who supplies us and gives us the reserves that we need so that we can continue to give and to serve him and to help others and to be a blessing. We can give. And when you feel dried up and used up, God will see to it that you are fed up. And I mean that in the best way. You're fed up. You're resourced. You're supplied. You have all that you need. Well, here's the third point of this message. God orders a plan for me. When it seems like God's plan, is this really God's plan? This doesn't make any sense. You just have to obey him. And when he said to Elijah, go impose on a widow, which was against their law, if God says that's what I'm supposed to do, that's what I'm supposed to do. And then when Elijah said to the widow, okay, go home and do that cooking, but make sure you give me the first roll. I got to tell you, this poor widow, could you imagine? I don't have enough food for me and my boy. We're going to eat what little we have and we're going to die. And this Elijah comes along and says, go make something and bring it to me first. There's a lesson in here. Elijah means Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. And the lesson here is whatever we have, we need to make sure we're doing our duty, our responsibility, our obligation to God first. God does not get leftovers. You have to make sure that you are on fire, sold out, all in for God, and that he has priority in your life. He comes first. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as I've said. Make a small cake of bread for me. Bring it to me and then make something for yourself and your son. Because Jehovah is your priority. He comes first. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. I believe that. I preach that. It's true. Seek first the kingdom of God. I want this to be an on-fire church. It's not going to be an on-fire church if we don't say, God comes first. I'm glad to hear the amens. I really am, because that says you're with me on this. I wonder who's sitting here that's saying, you know, I have to admit, he's really not first. He's part, but he's not first. He's not the priority. He has to be the priority. Well, testing is a time that God allows in your life to really give you the opportunity to sort out your priorities. Who's first? How are you doing with your obedience? When the testing comes, you have to stretch your faith and say, I'm going to trust him to get me through this, and I'm going to obey him what he's calling me to do. And when you obey, you get a testimony, you see his provision, which increases your faith. So that the next time testing comes, you can say, God has come through for me in the past. He'll come through for me now. Your past testimony gives you future hope. I want you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord, I wonder who you had this message for. I believe that you ordained that the right person should be here to hear the right message on the right day. And I thank you for how you divinely arrange things. And I pray that that person, whoever he or she may be, would know God had a word for me today. And we thank you for how you've arranged that. Thank you, Lord. Apply it to a heart and see each of us through our times of testing. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want Pastor Amanda and Randy to come. We're saying goodbye to them today. This is their last Sunday with us. Wednesday will be Amanda's last day in the office. They're moving on Friday. I mean, how fast has this come? I mean, doesn't it feel like just the day before yesterday you found out they're leaving? And here it is already. I mean, it just shot by so fast. And we love you guys, and you go with our prayers. You go with our blessing. We're happy for God's plan for you. You know, I just preached about when God says go to a different place and I'll provide for you there. You're demonstrating faith in that, and what a testimony you're giving to this whole congregation in your obedience. Thank you for that. And we're going to pray over you in a minute, but we have, this is a gift from the church for you as you leave us, and we're going to pray in a minute, but would you, with your applause, just say, well, before you applaud, 21 years Pastor Mann has been part of this church. 12, those last 12 on staff. Isn't that amazing? And youth pastor, you know, you've heard about dog years. Well, youth or children's pastor years, you know, it's like 12 years is really 120, you know, yeah, what a blessing. And I was earlier trying to calculate in my head, but if she had a fifth grader when she started as the children's pastor, that fifth grader is now in their early 20s. And Pastor Amanda said she's even seen some of the kids she ministered to get married. That's amazing. Amanda, we didn't do this in the first service, but I'm going to grab a microphone if you just want
to
say.
You want me to cry? I've done enough of this. No, I
can. Okay. I just, you know, this is your last shot at it.
I know.
What do you?
Thank you. Thank you so much for the many memories that all of you have given to us. Thank you for your love and for your support, especially as we begin this new journey in our life. I'm not going to lie, we're scared. And we're nervous and we're excited, but we know that we have God with us, and we know that God has totally just opened up all these doors for us. And when after a year praying for it, and God just laid it all out for you, how could you not go? How could we say no to this? And we know that this is definitely what God wants for us. But I just want you to know that we love each of you so very much. And I'm so thankful, too, for all the kids that I've been able to minister to. And it's been wonderful to see the kids grow up. And I hope that, you know, in children's ministry that you remember all the things that I taught you. And you know, in children's ministry, part of the job is to be able to give you good, solid foundation so you can grow in your walk with God. And I hope and pray that for all of you, no matter where life takes you, that you choose to follow God, even when it's hard. I've been here 12 years, and the church has gone through some pretty hard things over the years, especially, you know, losing Pastor Dave and a lot of different things. But there's been many, many good times, too, salvations, kids being baptized, so many wonderful things where you can really see God at work. So my last words would be to trust God and to follow him. There's a song that we did quite a bit in kids' ministry. We just did it this morning that talks about choosing to follow God no matter where you go or what he says. Choose to follow him with your whole heart. Not just a little bit, with your whole heart. Open yourself up to him and what he has in store for you. Life is an adventure, and it's meant to go and be and do what God calls you to do. And so our prayer is that all of you would come to know Jesus and just choose to follow him even more every day. And so we love you, and we're very thankful.
Thank you, Pastor Mary. Well, we're going to pray over Pastor Amanda and Randy, and would you two just go down and kneel at the altar? And Jaime, would you give us some background music? And once they find their place, anybody that would like to come and just surround them with love and lay hands on them, we're going to pray on them, over them as they follow the yellow brick road to Kansas. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for the life and witness and testimony of this couple. What a joy for this congregation to share in their lives as they were married 4 years ago. What a joy to share in ministry. What a joy to laugh together, and we've shared life. And Lord, as they leave us, we declare to you how precious they are, and we want you to watch over them and keep them, make a way for them. I pray, Lord, as they end up in a new community and have to find their way around, that you would make finding their way around easy, that they would just get the lay of the land quickly. As they have to find a grocery store and a doctor, I pray, Lord, that you would open the right doors. As they find new friends, Lord, would you help them with that? Especially, Lord, help them as they seek a new church. Guide them and direct them into the right fellowship. Lord, go before them and make a way. We entrust them to you. We have confidence in your plan, in your provision, in your place. And so we're so thankful that they're being obedient to what you've called them to do. And we pray this in your name.
And Lord Jesus, we thank you for Pastor Amanda's legacy. Lord, our church has been through a lot of transition. We've been through some pastoral transitions, and we thank you for a transition that we can celebrate, that we can say, Lord, you have been so faithful through the ministry of Pastor Amanda. Lord, she has learned a lot here. She has grown a lot here. She's gotten a husband since she's been here. Lord, you've been so faithful. We thank you for Amanda and Randy, and we pray that in the days and months ahead, you would bless them, that you would cause them to prosper in all things as they continue to put their hope in you. So Lord Jesus, I pray that Amanda and Randy would trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not on their own understanding, but in all their ways acknowledge you, and you will make their path straight. Amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you for their integrity. I thank you for their character. I thank you that you have not just blessed them so that they can enjoy life, but you've blessed them so that they can be a blessing. And so, Lord, as we launch them, we don't launch her from a ministry into a secular teaching position, but no, we launch her from one ministry to the next, from one glory to another glory. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that your will would be advanced through Amanda and Randy. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen and amen.
Well, now I want you to hear from Jennifer, who's going to be leading our VBS in a week.
Good morning. I am so excited. Heather Smith and I have been planning and putting things together and went shopping, and maybe we're having a little too much fun doing this. But I had my son over this morning counting milk jugs, and we have 201. I need 199 more. ASAP, please. So we have lots of stuff going on. At this point, I think we have around 15 kids registered. If you can please continue to pre-register your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, and get that turned into the offering plate, that would be great. We have lots of stuff planned. We have lots of competitions going on between the boys and the girls. We're going to see who can raise the most money for our missions child that they sponsor from Nicaragua. We are going to have competitions of who can bring the most friends, and we're going to have like a spirit week. Monday will be Winter Hat Sunday, Mitten Monday, Snow Boot Tuesday, and Warm Scarf Wednesday. And the kids will earn points throughout the week, and we have lots of great prizes. We've got gift cards. I'm not even going to tell you what all we have. If you can continue to please keep this in prayer, that would be wonderful. Ushers, if you can come forward now.
I also want to add, talking about God giving us our daily bread, Pastor Amanda's leaving on Friday. What are we doing next Sunday morning? We're going to do this week to week, but next Sunday morning, Jennifer, on Sunday morning, is going to start the VBS ministry.
And Heather.
And Heather, yes. Jennifer and Heather. Where is Heather? No, she's on vacation.
You know what? I thought I saw her.
Is Heather here? She is here. Heather, stand up. Jennifer and Heather are a team on this, so thank you, Heather and Jennifer, for stepping in. But at least I, as the leader of the church, know next Sunday's covered. Pray. Pray that God will give us our daily bread for, let's see, then there's August, the second Sunday of August. Help us, Lord. Okay. I'll pray for the offering. Can I do that? Thank you, Lord, for this congregation and how they're faithful to you. Be pleased, Lord, with the joy of our hearts as we give in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna